I'm going to start with a story from my long time ago. When the trip leader asked for a volunteer, my hand shot up. It was the first of 4 nights camping with a group of strangers, all students like me from the University of Utah. There was nothing heroic about my volunteering. I knew the get-to-know-you games designed to help strangers become friends, were about to begin, and while I preferred hiking in the desert. A volunteer was needed because when our group had met earlier that afternoon to distribute the communal gear, sharing weight and responsibility, the backup first aid kit was left behind, forgotten on the hood of a car. The parking lot wasn't far, about a mile, and I set out alone. As I walked, the hard bristles of desert heat softened. The 95-degree scrub brush of August, having scoured the landscape to a high polish, finally finished that squinty work and relaxed. The air sighed with the scent of rabbit sage and juniper. And as the sun began to slip into the deep blue pocket of the horizon, like the rarest coin, I turned for the campsite. I felt pretty good about making it back before it got too dark, until shadows started pouring onto the trail and my field of vision collapsed and my imagination exploded. My brain began sending messages of panic, and my stomach was more than willing to accept those messages very seriously. I was lost. My first attempt to calm myself down was to think, and I remember saying this out loud, that maybe I was only mostly lost. The second was to remember something my mom said to me once, which of course means she said it 100 times. But I finally heard it once. When feeling overwhelmed, she advised, splash water on your face and go for a walk. In that particular moment, it would have been ill-advised to follow her advice to the letter. So I did the next best thing. I stopped, took a deep breath, turned my flashlight off, and looked up. And the sky splashed over me like cold water. And I made that sound. You know it, we all make it. All over the world, people express awe with a particular sound and face. With eyes widened, eyebrows raised, head and chin lifted, a mouth a bit open. Ah. The sound at the dissolving edge of vocabulary. I was in awe. And soon I was awing out. I got a little intoxicated on that night sky, tipsy on the fundamentals of our visible universe, nightscape vast and riotous with wonder, and all right there. I got giddy on the physical mechanics of simply how to let it all into my little brain. Turning my head side to side, herds of goosebumps stampeding my arms. It was all so darn big, and me so very, very small. Awe is a profound emotional experience, the science of awe, and there is a science of awe, describes awe as the experience of encountering something so vast in size, skill, beauty, or intensity that we struggle to comprehend it, to accommodate it into our life experience and worldview. Awe intermingles with reverence, gratitude, wonder, and fear. There's always fear, right? Awe is serious. It is transformative. Studies have found that after experiences of awe, people express greater sense of belonging and purpose, feel more gratitude, show more generosity to strangers and friends, and are more likely to take meaningful action to engage in the work they feel needs to be done. Author Terry Tempest Williams says, "Awe is the moment when ego surrenders to wonder. Science calls this moment the small self, when the inclination is to share, care, assist, rather than go it alone. It is a self-distancing, when you feel happily and wonderfully small, while at the same time deeply, magnificently connected." When Neil Armstrong famously said, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind," it wasn't what he had planned to say. It wasn't the script. One word dissolved into the awe he was experiencing as his foot touched on the chalky surface of the moon. What he planned to say was, "That's one small step for a man." A very good example of small self doing its magnificent thing. Joanne's story, thank you, Joanne, was inspired, at least in part, by the concept of the overview effect. The overview effect is a cognitive shift in awareness reported by many astronauts during spaceflight, often while viewing the Earth from outer space. While there have been 536 people lucky enough to have a window seat of the Earth, a fewer still have had that view through a helmet. Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield, who spent 6 months in outer space, said this: "The windows of the spaceship casually framed miracles. Every 92 minutes, another sunrise, a layer cake that starts with orange, then a thick wedge of blue, then the richest, darkest icing decorated with stars. The secret pattern of our planet are revealed, the secret patterns. Mountains bump up rudely from orderly plains. Forests are green gashes edged with snow. Rivers glint in the sunlight, twisting and turning like silvery worms. Continents splay themselves out whole, surrounded by islands, sprinkled across the sea like delicate shards of shattered eggshells." And he had more to say. "An even rarer beauty than all of this is to gain a perspective that how you prepare, how you practice what you want to do in your life is your life. What you pay attention to is what makes up your life." There are many ways to experience the overview effect from right here on the ground. Being present at a birth or the death of a loved one, moments of intimacy, spiritual and religious experiences, morning light waking the smallest of things, prayer, mindfulness, the gathering of thousands in the work of justice, dance, music. All these experiences can offer a cognitive shift in awareness, a change in perspective, and change in how we view the world and what we pay attention to. So, how to practice the experience of awe, how to prepare for it. Sometimes it can be as simple as taking notice of where you are. I heard a story a long time ago. I've forgotten most of the details, I'm sorry, but I do remember the really good stuff. This is what the good stuff was. A student of something wanted to know why some people have a seemingly innate sense of direction and why others simply don't. The student traveled to an island whose citizens, it was said, always knew north from south and all the arrows in between. Not long after arriving on the island, the student was introduced to a woman who agreed to help him with his questions. "Why do people here always know their way?" The woman took the student by the hand, and laughed. "Close your eyes," she said, "and let yourself out of your head. Rise up like a bird. Let your bird wings bring you straight up over your body while you sit here with me in my house, east of Turtle Beach and west of the post office, with your hand in my hand. Now open your winged eyes and look around. What do you see? What do you hear? How do you feel? Where do you want to go? Now come back down, open your eyes, and go that way. The student, confused, asked a flurry of questions about diet and language and the importance of math and architecture. And the woman smiled and asked, how else would a person do it? Getting out of your head can be helpful. A shift in perspective is a shift in language. Experiences of awe change the way we talk to each other because experiences of awe change the way we feel about our connections to each other. Musician and author Patti Smith, combining her own words with Aldous Huxley's, said, there is a blessedness at the heart of things, sending us hints, and without awe, we can't receive those hints. There is so much happening in the world, so much conflict, pain, trauma, devastation. How do we connect? How do we receive those hints? Would we feel a different responsibility to each other and to the earth if we practice seeking experiences of awe, if we prepared to seek goosebumps in our interactions and daily lives? When I was lost in the desert, I found my way back to the group by listening, by closing my eyes and listening for the voices of strangers becoming friends. I navigated the dark by listening to people tell the stories of who they are and how the world feels for them. I walked toward these stories and found my own way back into belonging. Listening is a good navigational tool on the map of awe. It is a fine compass. There is a blessedness in the heart of things, sending us hints. And without awe, we can't hear those hints. Because in questions like, how did this happen? Whose fault is this? There are hints of questions like, what can I do? And will you take my hand while I learn to find my way? Finding our way through fear and conflict and into awe as a community will mean listening to the most affected by the damage we, as humans, have caused to our home, to Earth, and to each other. And the hints are everywhere. Music, art, ritual, and stories have carried them through the centuries. There are hints in all the questions about origins, impossible beginnings, disappearing and returning tomorrows, dimmest edges and cooling stars. We have been asking questions from our tiny and fragile planet for as long as we have had the word for forever. I think we need awe because fear keeps reminding us that our lives beneath the spinning, vast, riotous beauty of forever are very linear and so very, very brief. Star-drenched and goosebumped, I stood beneath that vast and piercing nightscape with every distant and indifferent light shooting through me, stitching me to the earth with warmth and wonder, stitching me to home. My love language, my awe language, is earth language. And earth language is always reaching for stardust. The stardust that we are. Now, in a couple weeks, it will be Christmas Eve. Indeed, a time to practice experiencing awe. And right here at South Church, just south of North Church and west of the Piscataqua River, there will be three Christmas Eve services at 5, 7, and 9. At each gathering, people, strangers becoming friends, will be welcomed into this sanctuary and offered a candle. And eventually, the lights will be turned off or turned low, and we will stand together in the dark or mostly dark. The shape of the building will seem to change. The dimensions of the room will shift in the darkness the way darkness does. The smell of evergreens will grow strong in the air as people shuffle their feet and whisper anticipations. Hands will reach out for hands. Arms will fall gently over shoulders. Then the first candle will be lit, and the focus will shift to the light, and we will turn to one another and sing. We will be a galaxy of human beings, each of us luminous and holding light, just as we are, so briefly. It will be a moment of connection and reconnection, a moment where, for the length of a song, silent night, a hymn filled with descriptions of awe, we will locate ourselves in a place and in a time. Together we will grow bigger because individually we will become small selves, receiving hints of how wonderful it is to be alive on this beautiful, fragile miracle of earth. Brought together in awe and finding our way to one another in kindness, wonder, justice, and peace. May it be so.